say that. Somebody else said that.
You might as well drink it.
All right. All right. Can I just have a little bit of liberty just for a second? And I know it makes Brother John nervous, but that's all right. Brother Haney was talking about distinctive ringtones. And I have one. I'll be honest. It's a special one to certain people. Anyway, it's Brother Sammy Allen at Trinity Baptist Church in Philadelphia. Can I just play him? Is that all right?
Go right ahead.
What's it on, is it? That's not, hold on a second. Let me get this thing to work here. Is the microphone working? Hello, test, test. Okay, there we go. Anyway, I just thought this is kind of interesting. People in the store, are people looking at you funny? I mean, to say they look at you funny with this is just an understatement, brother.
We're right out of that.
So needless to say, when you're in the grocery store, people look at you like you're nuts. So it's okay, brother. I love Brother Allen. Thank the Lord for Brother Allen. Been a blessing to us, been a friend to us, been thankful for him. And I'll be honest, I'm glad the Vermans are here. That's a blessing to me and my friends. And Lord just put us all together. Brother Taylor, it's great to see you again, Brother Hayne. You got the good folks that are here. There's enough preachers here to start a good fight, so that'd be a blessing. No, I'm just glad that we're here. Get to be in New York again. And Brother Taylor's asked me to preach tonight. He told me to preach an hour and a half, but I'll be honest, I only got two cups of water, and I feel like going to the bonfire early, so I'm going to get done early, and as Brother Taylor sees fit. And if somebody else does preach, please don't be offended if I'm not here for a little bit, but I do get warmed up a little when I preach, and so I'll probably have to go change, so please don't be offended by that if I'm not here, and I'm not sure what the Lord's going to have with the Taylor, but you know that as well. But I'm going to turn over to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. And I've only preached this message, I've only preached it, this will be the third time I believe I've preached it, and I preached similar along the lines, but it's something the Lord gave me back in March, and we end up really through this message. It's nothing boasting of anything of Tim McVeigh, but I preached this thought, and the Lord gave us a week-long meeting in Knoxville, North Carolina, and then we opened up the meeting a couple weeks later in Philadelphia with it, and ended up going through the following Sunday. And the Lord has helped me tremendously through this passage of Scripture. I want to share it with you, and I don't want to cut it short, but I will come in part way into the passage of Scripture rather than coming into the. Make sure that ringtone went back off again in case Brother Allen calls. And anyway, I want to start towards the end of this passage in chapter number 5 of the book of Hebrews. So the Bible says, it called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are not, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I believe it's in context at the end of this chapter, and not to diminish the first 10, 11 verses of this chapter, but he tells us in speaking in this passage of Scripture that these are things that we ought to understand, and not only to understand them, but we ought to be teaching others also. This ought to be an instruction to others. Because as we grow in grace, the longer we're saved, we ought to be capable of handling strong meat, not just milk. And there's a lot of milk toast Christians. I don't know, when we were poor, we had a lot of milk toast. You just put some bread in a bowl and pour some milk on it. And it didn't really satisfy, but it got you through to the next meal. And I think that's the way a lot of people are in church. They would like to say that they're not babes, they can handle strong meat, but most people are so easily offended and quickly offended that all they want is a piece of bread with some milk on it. And that's enough to hold me over until next Wednesday, if I show up Wednesday, or maybe to hold me over until next Sunday morning. And he says this, so he said, it's because meat belongeth to those that are full of age. And not only full of age, but he says them who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I want to preach along those lines with the Lord's help of exercising your senses. Exercising your senses. He said that the exercise of the sense is for one thing in this passage of Scripture, is to discern good and evil. And I thought along these lines, and before we really get to thrust the message, you often will taste something to see whether or not it's maybe not necessarily good or evil, but you'll taste something to see if it's even tolerable and palatable to your mouth. And a lot of times, mothers especially with a child in the hot water, you know, they'll feel that water, make sure the baby's the water's tepid for the child, not too hot, not too cold. They exercise their senses to discern whether or not it's safe for that baby to go into that bath. Your sense of smell, often things that are hideous smelling, terrible smelling, are warnings to us. In fact, most of you smell propane, in its worst state. People go, oh, that propane stinks, but many of you know, if you don't know, you can understand, that they actually put chemicals, they put sulfur, I believe it's not dioxide, but I forget the compound, into propane so that it actually gives an odor, so that when you smell propane, you know you have a problem. It's because that your senses then might be exercised. It's that you're going to use your sense of smell to discern whether or not there's a problem. Your touch, you put your hand out to the fire. The back of the hand, they say, is more sensitive. They tell you put the back of the hand to the fire and see whether or not the fire is hot. See whether the coals are hot. We could go up. We had the campfire last night, and if you had have gone up there after the rain, you wouldn't have probably feared too much putting your hand in the fire. But experience has taught me that I would just probably go ahead and feel the coals, not touching them, but feel for the heat on the back of my hand rather than just put my hand on those hot coals. As a child, I learned the hard way that white coals aren't cold coals. And so you learn that the hard way. But God gave us these senses that we can discern some things. God gave us senses that we have an understanding. And he says in this passage, exercising our senses to discern good and evil. And when we exercise our senses to discern good and evil, it's through the eye that we see things. And we can discern by the word of God whether these things are good or whether they be evil. It's through tasting that we can discern through the word of God. The Bible did tell us to taste and see that the Lord is good. And you can taste him. And people say, well, how do you taste the Lord? Well, unless you've tasted him, you don't know. But when you try to taste him, you'll find out that it tastes pretty good. Amen. I'm just letting you know that. He's sweet as that honey is to the tongue. And the sweetness of the Lord. And thank God for his sweetness. But God gave us senses. But he said in the passage just before this, because ye are dull of hearing. He said, we have many things to say about this high priest. We have many things to give you about this high priest. But he says, because you're dull of hearing, you will not hear. Your senses are not sharp. They're dull of hearing. I believe a lot of times with Christians, it's no different than with children or with adults, sometimes with husbands or wives. I believe a lot of times it's just selective hearing. I believe dull of hearing is when you only hear the things you want to hear. And many times I've preached, and it's amazing how I've talked about this several times. Some of you might have been there, but I preached at a camp meeting in North Carolina, rather a large camp meeting for me to preach in. And I don't know if I blew it too bad or not, but they don't usually like things I say down there anymore. But I was preaching this camp meeting, and I made a statement in the middle of the message that I preached. And I made a statement. I said, we don't always need preaching. Sometimes we need sleep. And that's this one statement I made out of the message. Brother Taylor, I rest assured, to this day, it's been about almost 4 years later, at least 4 years later, to this day, most people that heard that message remember one thing. When I said you don't always need preaching, sometimes you need sleep. Amen. That is dull hearing. That is selective hearing. And hey, there is a time you don't need preaching, you need sleep. I'll just be honest with you. If you can't stay awake, the preaching's not going to help you. But it's because our ears are dull of hearing. We're not listening sharply. We're not hearing sharply because we're not looking for something from God. Most people sit in church, they're looking for what they want out of the message. They're looking at what they want from God, and their ears are already dull when they get to church that they don't have to hear the preaching. A lot of young people, and this is Youth Week, a lot of young people make the determination that they'll listen to maybe their favorite preacher.
Right.
Or maybe they'll listen to the guy that they like the best. The guy that's the most entertaining. The guy that's the smoothest. The guy, whatever their choices might be. They'll listen to certain things out of the message. They'll listen to particulars out of the message. But they're not going to listen to all the message. What that is dull of hearing. That's not having sharp hearing tuned in to what God has for us. But that's an ear that is dull of hearing. He says, also then you have need of milk and not of strong meat. And why is it that we need milk and not strong meat? He said, some of you ought to have been teachers.
Yeah.
Some of you ought to be instructing others already. There are young people in this place tonight that should already have been in a position where they were instructing others in the meat of God's Word. But they're not even capable most of the times of instructing in milk. Because they've not understood that responsibility that's fallen to them and have an understanding of what God requires of them. And now when you should have been teachers yourself, you just need milk because you've digressed where you cannot handle strong meat. And that's where most people are.
Yeah.
They don't want meat. They don't want strength. They don't want a meat to last them 40 days and 40 nights and go on the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights as Elijah did. They want just enough milk to get them through the next day. I've often thought even in my own life of the test of going 40 days on the strength of one morsel of meat from the Lord. Spiritually, not physically, spiritually. Being able to go 40 days on one message, 40 days on one passage, 40 days on one verse, 40 days on something. God gave a strong meat to this preacher. And I'll be honest with you, most of the times, by the time I leave church, I'm already hungry. By the time I leave church, I'm already desiring something more. And it's not always because I have such a ravenous appetite for God's Word. It's not that I'm always so hungry that I just devour what the preacher throws out there. I'm hungry for more. And I know that's a great illustration. I just, preacher, feed me more, feed me more, feed me more. Most of the times it's because I choked on what he gave me.
Right.
Spit it back up again. You know what you do when you can't handle meat? You got to drink milk. If you can't swallow meat, you're not going to take milk. People, spirits, and I realize we're on a spiritual high horse often. I often think of myself as one of the most spiritual people I know, I'll be honest with you. You know, we have this idea that somehow, you know, we have arrived spiritually. And there's times I've gotten a nugget from the Word of God that I've shared with somebody else, and you can almost hear the disdain in their voice, thinking, you called me for that? Brother John, you may have done that to me. If it's personal, just take it for what it is. Amen. You know, so you called me to tell me that. You know, and I was here. I had a nugget from God, Brother Vernon. And it's just a little piece of milk in a plate is all it was. A little piece of softened cheese in the plate. Didn't last me but 3 or 4 minutes. You know why? Oftentimes, Brother Taylor, I spit that meat out. Preacher laid it out there, preached it to me. And I didn't want to handle it. I couldn't deal with it. I choked on it. I closed up my ears to hearing. I closed up my senses to receive because I was choking on the meat. And what happened is that my senses began to withdraw from the things of God. We talk about sensitivity to God, being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And my friend, we lose that sensitivity. We lose that touch with God. We began to drift from God. Instead of drawing nigh to God, that He can draw nigh to us, my friend, we'll begin to drift all because we choke on one piece of meat. We choke. We cannot receive the things of God. Our ears get dull of hearing. I might say, I believe in context, our eyes get dim of seeing. Our noses become stopped up and we can't smell. Our senses of feel begin to diminish because we can't touch like we once did. We don't feel the heat like we once did. We can't sense the cold like we once sensed it. And one of the biggest dangers in my own life, maybe not in your life, but in my life, is my friend, when I lose the sensitivity to coldness, and I feel my own dead skin, and I realize, I don't realize how cold I've gotten on God. And it's not an excuse. It's a passage of Scripture. It's not an excuse because iniquity abounds. The love of many will wax cold. And I've heard so many people use that as an excuse today. They say, I'm so cold because of iniquity that abounds. And I'm so cold because there's sin on every hand. And I'm so cold because my neighbors are in sin and my family's in sin and the world's in sin around me. It's because we lost our sensitivity to the cold.
That's right. That's right.
The longer you're in the cold, the more adapted you get to it. People from Florida, people from North Carolina, South Carolina, they come up here in the dead of winter and they can't handle it. And you see, so I won't name names, Peter, but you see people walking around in t-shirts and blue jeans and it's 0 degrees, doesn't own a hat or a glove. You get used to it. You get used to it. Amen. I go down in South Carolina and where Mason lives, again, I'm not going to name names tonight, but you'll go down there in March or April and it'll be 98 degrees. And I mean, I'll walk from the car to the church and sweat will be pouring off of me. And I'll go over and visit Mason, his father, there at the trailer, and they're sitting there with no air conditioning, doesn't even own a fan, and they're sitting at 98 degrees in a sweat box, and they're enjoying life, and they're eating hot dogs and baked beans, and, well, maybe not beans, but at least hot dogs. And I got, you know why? Because they've gotten used to the heat. You live in New York, you get used to the cold. We lose that sensitivity. We don't realize we've gotten cold. We don't realize we just adapted to it. That's what I believe we've done with this cold, dead world, by the way. I believe we've just adapted to this cold world. We've accepted the fact that the world is cold, and the more cold the world is, the more alive it makes us seem. And my friend, we're so cold and so dead and so stuffy today, and we don't realize how far we are from the warmth of God because we've lost our senses. Our senses have diminished because of our lack of our love, our lackluster, what's the term I'm looking for? Appetite, I guess, for the things of God, for the Word of God. The man of God preaches because he loves you, cares for you. The Bible goes on and says this, it says, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That is why the average soul winner in the average church today has to drag professions out of people, because he himself is a babe and he's unskillful. He's unskillful in the word of righteousness. Does not have the ability, does not have the spiritual knowledge, doesn't have the spiritual discernment how to witness, doesn't have the gumption to witness, doesn't have the strength to witness, but they know how to go through the motions and they know how to go through the program, but they have no discernment and no understanding because their senses are dead and they're unskillful in the word of righteousness. The average person today probably doesn't know enough memory verses, honestly. They don't know enough memory verses to keep somebody's attention for 3 minutes. Come on. They've not hidden the Word of God in their hearts. Scripture memorization is something that's flippant. It's thrown aside today. It's something for children. It's something cast aside today. I'm a firm believer in adult memorization. I've slacked off. I used to try a whole lot more and get the Alexander Scorby. And I like to read like Alexander Scorby. I like just listen to Scorby read the Bible. I don't know if God's in it or not, but I just like it. Amen. I just listen to Alexander Scorby read the Bible. And God created the heaven and the earth. And just that tremendous accent he had. But I'd listen to this over and over and over and over and over, trying to obtain the Scripture, trying to memorize the Scripture, trying to learn the Scripture while my mind's still young enough to learn the Scripture. But most people have never taken the time to memorize Scripture. They've never taken the time to memorize verses. They've never taken the time to become more skillful in the word of righteousness. And all they have for people is a little bit of milk. All they have for people is just a drop of milk, something that doesn't satisfy them, something that won't feed them, because they themselves have never taken the time to get anything more than milk. I would say probably on average, most churches that we go to, you listen to the adult Sunday school teacher, and now, I say this very kindly. Usually it's a man. I say usually. I'll just leave that one alone. And usually have a man teaching. She was the lady I went to that sat under. It was quite unusual, very peculiar. But anyway, I didn't realize she also secretly pastored, like a lot of ladies like to do. And she was secretly pastoring the church behind the pastor's back. And she was secretly in charge of the finances. The pastor just didn't know it. And she was secretly in charge of the choir. And the pastor just didn't know it. And she was openly teaching the Sunday school class. And really, it was her church. I learned that real quick. But most Sunday school classes you go to, somebody can open up the Bible. And they can read those words on the page. And I talked about this yesterday. They have a historical understanding. They can go get the commentaries. And they can pull the history books. And they can tell you which road in Ephesus you turn left on to get to the street on the 7th left. And you went down Carpenter Avenue and you turn right on Elm Street, and when you got down there, that's where the First Baptist Church of Ephesus was. And of course we all know we're Baptists from Ephesus, and you know, because we learned that in a book somewhere. And so we get down there at Ephesus, and they have a historical knowledge and they have a historical understanding, and they can grasp certain facts about the Bible and they can grasp a certain interest about the Bible, but what they don't have is meat for the soul.
I know.
But you sit under a man of God. Most of you in here sit under a man of God. Most of you have a preacher that has discerned good and evil. And you know what we do? I don't hear him. I don't listen. I'm not hearing the preacher. And I realize that it's not just in Black Creek. There's probably one or two members in the 40 years of Shingle House that maybe did that. Maybe three. Brother Vernon, I'm sure you have one or two members possibly that maybe do that. I know at Friendship Baptist Church in Newville, Pennsylvania, where I attend, Brother Taylor, I know that we don't have many people that actually put their fingers in their ears, but we have people that just go to sleep so they don't have to listen. I've had people put their fingers in their ears. My wife can attest to this. I preached where Brother Willis Shankles attends church on a Wednesday night not too long ago, several months ago. And as soon as I began to preach, a lady in the back row went two knuckles deep in each of her ears, and she hooked them in there so that she could take the weight off her arms. They looked like earrings crammed in her ears, and she was hanging them on there. She sat there for 43 and a half minutes. I'm probably diminishing that number a little bit. She sat there for 43 and a half minutes with her fingers crammed in her ears so she did not have to listen to the preaching. And I thought to myself, you know what? At least she's honest.
Amen.
At least she's open about it. At least she's saying, I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to hear you. Quit yelling at me. Quit talking to me. I don't hear anything you're saying, so shut up.
Right.
She's just telling what's in her heart.
Yeah.
But most of us smile. We act like everything's all right. And oh, preacher, what a message that was. What a wonderful message that was.
Amen.
And we just can't be honest with the integrity of our heart to say, you know what, preacher? I wasn't listening to a word you said because I don't like you and I don't like your family and I don't like your necktie and I don't like your wife and I don't like the car you drive and I don't like the message you preach and I don't like anything about you. And we just don't have the guts to be honest and say, preacher, you know what? I just don't like you.
That's right.
So we put our fingers in our ears and we stop them up spiritually. We become dull of hearing. And part of the reason for that is because we cannot handle the meat of the Word of God. I've been called a sinless perfectionist, and that's never bothered me. I am a sinless perfectionist. I have not yet obtained, but I'm heading that way. I'll be honest, I may not obtain it in this world. I may not get there. But I'm working towards it.
Amen.
And therefore I am a sinless perfectionist. And people say, do you live what you preach? I try to live what I preach. And when you're a sinless perfectionist, it makes for really hard living. But I don't demand anything of you that I don't demand for myself. I don't lay any burden on you that I don't lay on myself. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a fallible man. I'm about as carnal sometimes as the carnival, literally the carnival grounds. There's times I feel like I don't have an ounce of spirituality. There's times I don't feel like I have an ounce of knowledge of God. There's times in my life I don't feel like I even know where God is in my life. But I'm going to tell you this and rest assured of this. Even when I feel that way, I'm the very lowest low, the very lowest ebbs of my life. You can rest assured I still listen to God's man.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
God's always put a man in my life.
Yes, sir.
Always brought a man in my life to help me. When God's put that man in my life, it has changed my life. Because I listened to God's man. I can name man after man just for brief moments of time. Just brief moments of time. God's put somebody in my life for weeks at times, Brother Taylor. Sometimes for years. Sometimes for a lifetime, God's put people in my life that have helped me and been a friend to me and have preached to me and have changed me. I'll tell you how hard of hearing some of you are. You got to watch the water boy. You can't listen to the preacher. Three quarters of people in here are watching the water boy. You don't like what the preacher's saying. You think I'm telling the truth tonight? You better listen to the preacher tonight. Three quarters of you watching the water boy, not watching the preacher. You know why? Because you're not listening. You're not hearing. Your ears are hard of hearing. You don't want to listen to what the preacher has to say because you don't listen to your own preacher.
Come on.
About it.
He watches for your soul. He cares for your soul. But you don't want to listen. You don't want to hear. Why your ears are stopped up because you know better. You know more. You're smarter. You have more wisdom. You have more intelligence. Hey, listen, my friend. Hey, most people today feel that they know so much more than the preacher knows. We've already had people today backpedaling, people backpedaling on statements they made and backpedaling on things they did, and trying to lie and trying to cover things up. Why? Because we're so full of self.
Right. Amen. Yep.
And we don't want to listen to the preacher. We don't listen to the man of God.
Right.
I'll tell you, another thing that's dangerous. I'm just going to get got an outline here, but we're not even close yet. You go to church and you're only going to listen to your preacher. Nobody else can tell you anything. That's a cult. That's a cult.
Yes, sir. Right.
My preacher.
Right.
My preacher.
Mm-hmm.
You better learn how to listen to God's man.
You better believe man.
God's man has a message.
Amen.
Better get your fingers out of your ears spiritually. We got a long week ahead of us. I'm looking forward to this week. But if you don't take your fingers out of your ears now and start listening, this whole week's going to be in vain for you. You can win the sword drill. You can win every game. You can win frisbee golf if you can possibly beat Sam. You can win Ticket to Ride if you can possibly beat the pastor. That's all they do in Black Creek, play frisbee golf and Ticket to Ride, I think. I'm just throwing that out there. And you'll have great memories and you'll have great times. I mean, some of my greatest memories up here in Black Creek are yelling at young people that were acting like idiots. They're great memories for me. I enjoy it. I live for it. I come to Black Creek for that. What a blessing. Amen. It's a joy. It's a blessing to me. But you know what? I have young people after young person tell us what a great time we had in New York. Boy, we love going to New York. We love New York. One told Brother Zach, he said, oh, we just love Brother Asquith. Oh, he's just so smart. And oh, he's just such a great preacher. But they're not here.
I
don't love him too much. I'll just be honest with you. They might have loved the person. Hard to understand, but they might have loved the person, but they didn't love the preaching. There's a whole bunch of them come the first year. Most of them didn't come the second year. Only about four of them come the third year that came out of the first bunch. And we got some new folks last year. They came back this year. Amen. We didn't have anybody new this year. The bunch came back from last year, but those ones that originally come, they didn't come anymore. And all of a sudden, now they're sidetracked on something else. They don't want to come up here and listen because they have their own preacher they're listening to, and they don't want to listen to somebody else's preacher or somebody else preach contrary to what they've been believed or been taught. Doesn't matter if it's wrong. Doesn't matter if it's an error. Nobody's going to tell me. Nobody's going to instruct me. You know what that is? That's milquetoast Christianity.
Yes.
They don't have the strength to go one day on a piece of meat, let alone 40 days and 40 nights. One thing you can say about Elijah, and one thing you know you can honestly say about Elijah, he was a man like pastors just as we were. He had the same build we have. He had the same body, the same flesh. He was just like you and I were, but Elijah had something most of us don't have. He could take meat and go on the strength of it for 40 days.
Amen.
And most of us don't want meat. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Nobody's going to tell me, you know, what type of church I ought to go to. Nobody's going to tell me how to formulate religion. Nobody's going to tell me what clothing to put on. Nobody's going to tell me what music to listen to, not to music. Nobody's going to tell me that. Nobody's going to instruct me in that. I know better than everybody else. I know better than my preacher. I know better than what you're saying. I know better than my mom and my dad. Hey, but the Bible says it's for aged people who have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. Somebody else has already fought the battle so that you don't have to fight it. Somebody's already discerned that it's good and it's evil, and you don't have to fight that battle. But you know what your problem is? You're a rebel. You know what a rebel is? I'm going to give you a quick definition. Don't touch that. And in your heart, you're going to touch it as soon as you get a chance. That's what a rebel is. And be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. If you sow to this flesh, you're going to reap in this flesh.
Yeah.
And if you rebel against the word of God, you're going to reap rebellion against the word of God. The same people that rebel against this book are going to be judged from this book. The same people that rebel against the man of God will stand in the day of judgment one day, and the man of God will say, I told them, I let them know, I warned them. God will check the record and say, it's true, and you'll be judged by this book.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Self-will is the root of rebellion.
Yes, sir.
I know better than, and you can just fill in the blank. And that's why the prisons are full of people today. They knew better. Don't be deceived by this. It's not because they got on dope and made bad choices. You better listen. It's not because, and there may be some, certainly. It's not because they had a bad upbringing, just made bad choices in their life. That's not why they're in prison. It's not because something happened and their dad whipped them too many times and boy, it just affected their mind, and so they started robbing banks at gunpoint. No, it was rebellion that led them there. It's rebellion against authority. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Nobody's going to tell me what I can take. Hey, that's just as much my money as it is the bank's money. Nobody's going to tell me I can't take that money. But it doesn't start at the bank. It usually starts in mom and dad's bedroom. Mama's purse, daddy's wallet. Are you listening? And it's not because mom and dad didn't lock up the money. It's because they had a rebel going behind their back and doing exactly what they were not told to do.
Yeah.
If you go around secretly listening to music that your parents have told you not to listen to, you're a rebel.
Amen.
Rebellion is still the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity. And my friend, if you're going around doing anything your parents aren't telling you, you're telling your parents one thing. Oh no, I'm not going to do that, mom and dad. Your parents trust you. You're going behind their back. You are a rebel. You are robbing from them. You are stealing from them. You are deceiving them. And you are rebellious against them.
Right.
If you do the same thing with your pastor, you're a rebel.
Yeah.
Watches for your soul and cares for your soul. He tells you how to live. Why? Because he has tasted. He has lived it. He has seen it. He has exercised his senses. He has touched it. He has heard it. He has smelled it. This music thing is an issue today. I'm sure it'll be preached on 5-6 times this week, and it needs to be preached on probably more than that. People say, I can choose what music I listen to, but you really can't. Because you're going to choose the wrong music every time you choose music to listen to. You're not going to choose the right music to listen to. People fill their minds with the filth of gospel music, so-called. They fill their minds with the filth of this rockabilly music, hillbilly music, rap music, doesn't matter what it is, and they fill their minds with it, and they've been instructed, it's evil, it's bad, it's going to destroy you. But my friend, they got a rebellious streak and a rebellious spirit in them, and they're going to go after anything that somebody's told them not to touch. Can I say this? You don't have to put a bottle to your lips to find out what it's like. There's plenty of people in this room who stood up many times and testified how alcohol destroyed their life.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
But you know what a rebel does? He picks up the bottle anyway and puts the bottle through his lips. Because he just has to try it. And listen, there's no temptation taking it because it's common to man. We know that. The temptation is for one and all. But you don't have to try it. You don't have to taste it. You don't have to see it. You don't have to feel it. Someone else has already gone before you who has tasted. They smell, they touch, they heard, they see. They can tell you this is evil, don't get near it. Stay away from it, flee from it, run from it, leave it behind. Did not Paul write saying flee fornication?
Yes, sir.
Don't get near it, run from it, don't get close to it, don't dabble in it. That's the word of God tells us that. I believe every preacher has the right, and I don't care if you say he's a legalist, I don't care if you say, oh, he's you know, whatever you want to title him or label him, and say, oh, he's just preaching his preferences, he's just preaching what he believes. Every preacher has a right to stand in the pulpit and warn of error and warn of folly and warn of things that are destroying people's lives and warn of the error of this day and warn of the sin of this day. Every preacher has that right. Every preacher has stood in a place where he's had to make conscious choices concerning good and evil. But we don't want to hear it. Because we want what we want. Love of money is still the root of all evil. Covetous today, people want, they want, they want, they want, they want, they want, they want, take. Everything wants to come into the coffers. Everybody wants to be rich, but nobody wants to work. Everybody wants to be wealthy, but nobody wants to get a job. Everybody wants to have money to spend. I mean, most people don't have money to put in a store. I mean, I'll be honest. You know, I'd like to have a good $50,000 in the bank, but what's the goal of that? I'm going to spend it. I mean, that's the reason I put it in the bank. Someday I'm going to spend it. I'm not going to leave it behind. I'm just being honest with you. We're seeking after wealth. We're seeking after money. Turn our backs on God for gain. Turn our backs on what God wants for us for profit. Turn our backs on God. Leave just the very principles of God. He said these first oracles of God, going back to the first oracles, going back to the beginning, going back to loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, going back to falling in love with Him again. You know why you can't love your neighbor as yourself? Because you can't love God. If you can love God first, that's the first commandment. If you can love Him, then you probably can learn how to love your neighbor. Yes. But you'll never love your neighbor until you learn how to love Him. Right. You know why God put authority, and I use that term, I know most people abuse that term, but God didn't put the word authority in there, you know, clearly, this is your authority, like some would preach, your authority. But the principle is there. But you know why God put people over you? Because they will go before and they're going to exercise their senses. Yeah. And it's going to keep you from the evil of that day. Yeah. One of the most foolish things I see is a young man that strains to get out of the house. Yes. Or worse yet, a young lady that's straining to get out of the house. Right. I can understand a young man a little bit more, to be honest with you. Because, you know, he wants to be his own man. He wants to be his own person. But the food's free. Somebody help me out. The rent's free. I'm just being honest with you. The heating bill's free. Unless you got to cut wood. I know that's a sore point for some of you. The heating bill's almost free. It's pretty good at home.
Yes.
It's pretty safe at home.
Yes.
Someone else is watching out for you. Somebody else is caring for you. That's kind of the way it is in church, by the way.
Yeah.
Somebody's watching out for you.
Yes.
Somebody's caring for you. Somebody's trying to help make sure your needs are met. And I'm talking about they will meet your physical needs at times. I'm talking about your spiritual needs. But you know what this natural man wants to do? He wants to fight every ounce of authority. He fights his parents. He fights his pastor. He fights the police. He fights the prison guard. He fights the executioner. And when he stands before God, there won't be an ounce of fight in him.
Right.
He'll find out he was wrong the whole way back through his life.
Yes.
God put somebody there on the experience of exercising their senses.
Amen.
You know why the Constitution has a Bill of Rights? Because we have forefathers that exercised their senses. And by the way, not only their physical senses, but their common sense as well. They said, if we give this government all these rights in this Constitution, and we don't arm ourselves, we'll have these rights for about 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, we better keep our guns. Let's write that in there.
Yeah.
You know, we have this Constitution. We better put in there. We might want to be able to have a voice as a people. So let's put in this thing. We'll call it freedom of speech. The right to speak freely. And by the way, that does give you the right to insult somebody if you want to. That's freedom of speech. But I also have the right to respond to your insult. Amen. That's also freedom of speech. I'm just letting you know. That's how it works. It's a two-way street.
Right.
You know, freedom of religion, as we call it, the right to assemble freely in religion, was not just for the Baptists. It was for the Mormons. It was for the Jews. It was for the Islams. Anyone in America that came to this country had the right to form any organization religiously they wanted to and worship openly and worship freely without any hindrance from the government, without any hindrance from the law. And now those same individuals that have taken advantage of that law are trying to destroy that law.
Yeah.
For their benefit. But do you know why we have that right? Because somebody exercised their senses to do good and evil.
Amen.
Somebody said, you know what? I have seen what religion bound up in the church trying to control the government has done. And we need to make sure that's covered in the Constitution, that the church does not run the country, but the country doesn't run the church. The people run the country. God's people should run the country.
Yeah.
But America's fled from God. In your home, your parents have rules. I use this so many times, but with a little child, you know, a little child does not know. This young man's probably learned many times by now, but that stove is hot. And what mother's going to let her child go latch onto the hot stove? What mother's going to let her child go grab on the fireplace and walk into the fire? What mother is going to let her child willfully go into the fire and hurt himself? What mother would do that? What pastor is going to want to watch a young lady in his church go into fornication and not say a word? What pastor is not going to watch young people involved in sexual impurities through digital media, social media, phones, Facebook, the internet. What pastor's not going to see that going on and scream from the highest tower and warn those young people just like that mother would warn that baby from going in the fire? Would not a mother that's baby continue to go in the fire? Would she not do anything in her power to get that out of her child? When the man of God stands in the pulpit and says anything, there go the fingers and the ears. And there goes our understanding to hear because our exercises are not being, our senses are not being exercised. And we're not listening for ourselves anymore. We've dulled our hearing and we cannot hear the warning. What fool rides around with earbuds in, driving? What fool rides around with headphones on, driving? They can't hear a horn. They can't hear the train horn. They can't hear the You say, well, a lot of people do that. What fool rides around with a blindfold on? I mean, let's go driving. Who wants to drive? We'll go blindfolded. We'll take Brother Haynes' car. Who wants to drive? Brother Chris. Who wants to ride with him? You know why? Because all of a sudden he's blocked off his senses. But spiritually in church, how many people have covered up their eyes because they just don't want to see? They've stopped up their ears because they just don't want to hear. They've pursed their lips so they don't have to taste. You know, anytime you get in a service where it just gets a little bit, I call it edgy. And that's where it could go either way. It's about to break out, people get to shout and rejoice and weeping. Or it's about to get where it just goes to tears. Could go either way. I've been in so many of those services and watched critical people with their critical attitudes who've never exercised their senses to say, oh, this is God or this is not God. And they've never tasted, but they've criticized. I see so many times when the man of God will preach, he'll talk about being filled with the Spirit. And people who've never been Spirit-filled will sit there and be critical. Because they've never tasted. They've never seen. They've never heard. A danger in us not exercising our senses is we lose contact with God and we begin to choke on meat. And we starve to death. We become anemic. We become shallow. And what we do as a whole, we just change religion. And we go where it's easy. And we go where it's smooth. And we go where it's got bebop. Because there's no meat there to choke on. I couldn't operate on that mess for 10 minutes. By the time I got home, I'd be starving. I couldn't deal with that mess for probably 5 minutes. I'd be starving to death, Brother Taylor. But you know what? That's people's desire. I don't want meat. I don't want meat. I don't want meat. If we're going to meet with God this week, I believe God wants to meet with us. I believe that with all my heart. There's not a time we've been here in New York that God hasn't met with us. Way or the other. And I'm speaking a true statement. Nothing to Tim McVeigh, nothing of Cliff Taylor, nothing of John Ashwood, nothing of Zach Vernon, nothing of his congregation. It's God. And I believe God again this week desires to meet with us. We need to open up our ears to hear. Our eyes to see, our taste, and see that the Lord is good. These men are going to preach this week. I don't know who all will preach. Brother Taylor probably doesn't know who all will preach. These men will stand and preach this week. And they're going to give us things that we're not going to like. I'm just being honest. They're going to preach, and it's going to choke me. But you know why? I'm guilty. Man of God stands and he's tasted this. And he says, brother, this is rotten. You don't want to touch this. But I've been eating it for 2 months rotten. Just too dumb to know it. Man of God gets up and he says, you know, you don't want to put your hand in there. It's burning hot. But I'm so senseless that I just go ahead and put my hand in there anyway. Not heed the man of God, not listen to what he says. Why would I do that? Why would I not trust his senses? I'll tell you why. Because my heart's not right, I'm a rebel. I've already made up my mind. I'm going to put my hand in there no matter what. And God says, there's a snake in there. There's a snake in there. A poisonous snake. You put your hand in there, that snake's going to bite you. You're going to die. There are people here that put their hand in there anyways. Mm-hmm. Because they just don't believe the man of God. But you know what most of us are going to do? We're just going to look just to make sure he's telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Now I don't have a problem with that. But when you find out there's a snake in there, you better start telling other people. He was right. There was a snake in there. Amen. Man of God gets up and warns us this week. You better take heed. You better make sure you're obeying. You better make sure you're following. As he exercises his senses, you better exercise yours. Brother Taylor, I believe I'm tired. I believe I'm exhausted spiritually. I believe what the Lord wanted tonight. I'll give the microphone back to you, brother.
I believe the saddest person on earth is not a lost man. A lost man doesn't know his condition. The saddest person I've ever seen on the planet is a saved person whom God has left to themselves and they don't even know it. They're trying to drum up God.
Right.
And God's not drummed up. God's not pumped up. He's the pumper. He's not the one that has to be pumped. When God shows up, things happen. Things get done. Like the preacher just said, he goes home full instead of hungry. When God shows up. But if you walk away from God, if you slide into that great cavern, that great abyss of self, you just like the preacher said, you don't listen anymore. You tune it out. Eventually, there's going to be an authority in your life. And eventually that authority becomes you. And when that authority becomes you, you think God thinks like you think. So therefore, God's got to show up because I think God's here. I've been in the churches. The church my wife got saved in. God left that place probably 10 years ago. And they still don't know he's gone.
Yeah. Right.
I went by, Pastor Hayne, I went by there because they had supported me for years. I was in the church when I was stationed in this town. And I went by and I knew they'd gone to the modern music and thrown out this beautiful grand piano. And I was shocked, Samuel, at the things I saw. I walked in on a Wednesday night. The pastor greeted me in the vestibule area, which was a big center section of the church. He greeted me in a pair of Bermuda shorts and a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops. He said, oh, and I dressed as I normally do. He said, oh, I forgot to tell you. We dress down on Wednesday nights. I thought, way down. I said, God, why am I here? Why am I even going? I know what they've done. And God said, they've supported you for years. And as a Christian, you owe it to them to give them a report. I said, God, they're not going to support me anymore. He said, I know that. But you need to learn something from this. I've got something I want to show you. And I've got something I want to teach you. So go. So I went. I wish I'd have left my wife and my daughters at home. Of course, they got a lesson too. We sat in the back row. And you could tell from the back row, God was not there. Where once was a beautiful grand piano stood this electrified thing about 8 feet long, and some guy went like he got plugged into it and it shorted him out. I expected his eyeballs to pop out of his head at any time. And I'm not joking. This guy was into it. He was flipped out with the music. call them free 33 songs. Free words 33 times over. How many times can you say Jesus is Lord? I have literally heard Jesus is Lord in Swahili 33 times. I stood in the middle of the street and screamed, "Tell him what he's the Lord of! Tell him how he got to be Lord! Tell him why he died! Tell him he's a Savior!" I just started preaching.
Yeah.
Why? Because somebody's got to warn them.
That's right. Yeah.
Somebody's got to wake them up.
Exactly.
Maybe tonight what you got was a little bit of a wake-up call. Pay attention. Amen. I watched as the song service went on, and I said, "God, why am I here? What is all this?" And the Lord said, "Well, who do they say they're trying to reach with this thing? The young people. We got to change our music, Brother Vernon, to reach the young people." Mm-hmm. I looked at the young people. You know what they were? They were discouraged. I could tell from the back row, the young people were discouraged. They come to church expecting to find God.
Right.
And he's not there.
Yeah.
And all they get is the same thing they get in the hip hop club. And they're standing there just. Oh, the pastor's on the front row in his Bermuda shorts and his Hawaiian shirt and flip flops. And he turns around, and when he turns around, they all bark out at the little red bouncy ball trying to catch it, you know. And it literally, it's, you see him. But when he turns back around, and you can tell, when your shoulders are slumped down, hey, listen, you ain't into what you're doing. When your posture gives you away from the backside, You can tell. Amen. So I said, "Okay, Lord, obviously they are not reaching the young people. These people are discouraged. They came here hoping to get fed, hoping to get something from God." I said, "What else, Lord?" He said, "Check out the senior saints. That's the gray haired crowd or shiny headed crowd." Amen. And I looked at them. You know what they were? They were disgusted. And they're standing there like this. Oh, and the preacher turns around. You know what they did? Same thing. They went barking after the little red thing, you know? The little bouncy ball. And then, you'd think, listen, y'all come from good churches where the preacher gets red in the face a little now and then and preaches the Bible, and even if he doesn't get red in the face, he gives you enough Bible when you walk out, you know you can preach that?
Yeah.
I'm talking about a place where the King James Bible used to be. Hey, it was the center of attention. And preaching was always, because God, and I heard it so many times from that very pulpit, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Come my turn, right? The pastor gets in the pulpit.
"Okay, Brother Taylor, come and give us, take about 5 minutes and give us what God's given you." I can't even say my name in 5 minutes. Amen. Give what God's given me. I had a long aisle to pray all the way down, and I prayed all the way down. I said, "God, what do I say to this crowd in 5 minutes? Listen, if I say what I want to say, I know what's going to happen. It's going to blow them out of the seats." And I stepped in the pulpit. And I said, "All I have to say is I want to thank God that when I came to this town, there was one Bible-believing church in the whole town. And I called it by name. And by the way, they've taken Bible and Baptist out of the name. Now it's just Paradise Church." And I started on that, and I said, "I thank God." And I wasn't trying to be mean. Brother Zach, I wasn't trying
said the name. I said, I came to this town, and here it was. And I called the name of the church, the Paradise Bible Baptist Church. I thank God it was here. My wife got saved here. And I said, I'm just glad God had a good church here when I needed it. And I sat down. What else could I say? Somewhere along the line.
Yeah. What happened?
They stopped their ears. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof.
Yes, they did.
So much so, they went across town when that movie, The Passion of the Christ, when that came out, they rented a movie theater and they paid for full every seat in the house for 2 solid weeks because they thought they could maybe start a church like theirs in that part of town. You know how many people got saved in 2 weeks? By the way, they had a little tapioca sermonette at the end of the movie each night. Do you know how many people got saved in 2 weeks? Anybody want to guess? Who said it? You're right. Sister Hank, 0. God does not bless the world's methods.
Yes.
God blesses an old leather lung preacher, a leather lung song leader, who's got a burden for what he's doing, and a call for what he's doing, the touch of God for what he's doing, and his heart is in what he's doing because he's trying to get people, amen, to put their focus and their attention on God.
Amen.
It's not the preacher. It's not the song leader. It's God.
That's right.
Hey, listen to that preacher. Song leaders too. Too red in the face and he sings. He gets too noisy. He's always stopping and changing the courses. I can't do that. It's not him. It's God. It's God. It's all about God. And that's what we're here for. Because it's about him. And our relationship with him.
Brother Tim, that fired me up.
Amen.
I'm sitting over there scribbling down notes. You know how you know you get fed when you, amen? You know how you know you get fed when you go to church? When you're getting so much you can't keep up with it and you got to take notes.
Amen. I go home, amen. The tank is full, amen, spiritually speaking, amen. And I got so much extra, I got some I can give out to somebody else, amen. Because I took notes.
That's right.
Because I wrote it down. Good stuff. And it's just getting started.
Amen.
Just getting started, amen. And I have no idea what's going to happen the rest of the week. But I can't wait to see what God's going to do.
Amen.
Amen. Would you do me this favor? Would you do yourself this favor? Give yourself to God this week.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Give yourself to God right now. For whatever God wants to say to you, whatever God wants to do in you, whatever God wants to do through you this week, would you just give yourself right now to God?
Yes.
In your own heart, would you give yourself to Him? And would you beg Him to show you what it is that's standing between you and a closer walk with Him this week? Because that's what He wants. He wants to draw nigh. But He can't if we won't. Because He said, you draw nigh to me.
That's right, yes.
And I will draw nigh to you. The first step is yours. Would you do that for yourself right now? Give yourself to Him completely. Take your hands off. God, here am I. I'm sitting here. Father, whatever you want to do this week is fine with me. God, help me not to stop up the spiritual ears in my heart.
Yes. Yes.
God, help me not to get my mind so cluttered up with the world, the things going on in this world, that I can listen. And help me put this flesh under and listen and get everything you've got for me this week. Because I want to go away different.
Amen.
Or are you afraid to go away different? People might call me weird. They already did. We've got your picture. You're here. They know what's going on, okay? You're at Black Creek Baptist Church. Amen. They're a little different here. Amen. So you're part of the crowd now. Amen. So just shake off all that nonsense, amen, of what people might say. And just get in here high and all. I mean, clean over your head. Get in so deep you can't see anything but God. And I'll tell you what, young people. God will do something for you. And you'll go away different. You'll go away more of what He wants you to be. Brother John, you got anything to say?
Brother, not really. Let me just say this. I'm really so thrilled about who is here. That first year, Jennifer Bowen's still here. It's a real blessing.
Amen.
It really is. Zach's still here.
Amen.
Can't drive him away. Alright? I like it. I mean, still here. Some of you kids came from last year, just thrilled to death here. I'm glad of all the kids that are here from the Black Creek area, different people that are coming. Doug just enjoyed me when he drove up tonight. Just enjoyed me. Joined me, Brother Vernon's
journey. Amen.
Right? That's right. Brought his fine son. We met his other one. And met his fine son and his wife. And just again enjoyed me. The idea that Brother Hayne is with us this year.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's just, Brother Hayne has brought a depth to this church. And the folks that have been here just understand what I'm talking about. And
amen.
It's been real, real good. And I don't know what all God's going to do. I have no idea what the Lord's going to do.
Right.
But I do know this. There's not a single person here that doesn't need God to do something for them.
That's right. Okay? Amen.
And if you'll listen this week, if you'll listen, we have some people in here who don't really know what you need God to do, okay? In fact, it's kind of a strange thing to hear somebody talking about what God can do for you, because that's just always been words in your life. You don't really know what it's like. Brother McVeigh made a statement, it hit with some power, just in his opening, he was talking about and tasting how sweet it is to taste God, okay? And there's just a little bit of force behind that. There's just a little bit of something to that when he said that. But we have some people in here who've just never known that sweetness. It's just never been that. They kind of like being around Christianity, and culturally it's kind of the right thing to do. They've never known that sweetness personally. And there's not a single person in here that the Lord wouldn't love to have that relationship.
Yes, amen.
No, nobody in here. Would love to have
right.
that. And if you'll listen this week, the Lord's going to try to straighten a lot of that stuff out. We got some people in here frustrated. You've made so many professions of faith that, it could keep Ohio's church going for a week just off of your professions, okay? And it frustrates you. I live that way.
Right.
I mean, it hurts to live that way. And this is a church where maybe God can help you with that.
Amen.
Okay? There are some men here, and some women, who've been through that and really suffered under that and really know what it's like to always wonder, am I really saved? Am I really saved? Am I really saved? And we've got some in here who God delivered. God proved to them on the inside. I wanted to stop and buy a beaker, but I don't know where to buy a beaker. You know what I mean by a beaker? You know, like they use in the chemistry lab. and get a beaker. And you know those tubes and it's rounded at the bottom there, the beaker, and put a little bit of water in that, and then take a rubber stopper and shove it down as tight as you can. And in that beaker, I'd love to get a hold of one, so I'm going to find one for it sometime. And think of that as your heart, and that water down there is doubt. And so you say to yourself, I'm going to push out of this as hard as I can to get all that doubt out. But that stopper's down there as tight as it can go. And with every bit of force you can, and that water will never let it out. And you can't, you're not allowed to break that thing. And they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue how to ever get that doubt out of that heart. The Word of God says the Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Now I'm going to say something to you that will drive a lot of people crazy. God's in a lost person's heart. Whither shall I go for flee from thy presence? Yea, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Let me tell you something. I'm a man and make my bed in hell.
Right.
Thank God he was there.
Amen.
I love your testimony. That's a man made his bed in hell. And God was there.
Amen.
Okay? You know how a person gets saved? Because they finally listen where the Spirit of God's whispering in their heart. The word is in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. Okay? It's there. And so when you're down deep in that little water, you're trying to shove it with all your heart and faith and be more faithful, more faithful. And down in there, God's trying to get you to understand that you're full of doubt because of what you are. And God wants to blow the lid off of that thing from the inside.
Yeah.
And
in yes,
heart,
sir.
Do something. And how do you all know that you're flowing rivers of living?
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. God wants to do. Okay. So, now, to some of you, that's just words. Just words. I trained with a black drill sergeant. I trained them in the ministry. Tony Hill, 6'3", drill sergeant, black, he's the ace of spades. He's the man who convinced me of the King James Bible. But he used to tell the story of student 51. Tony was sitting in the class, and Tony was one of the sharpest people you ever meet, and he's sitting in the military class. And military class is probably the most boring thing you'll ever sit in your life. You know, I mean, they just, that professor there, the teacher just read hours on a paragraph there. Because if he reads it exactly, he's never held to account. Like, it doesn't matter if he learned, he read it. If you sat there, you signed it, you learned. You know? And he said it when he got done. I mean, he said this big, thick-lipped black fellow sits there and raises his hand and said, but Sergeant, I didn't understand that. And so she rattled it all off again. He said, student 51 said, them be just words. Them be just words. And old Tony made a career out of his preaching, them be just words. The idea that people are hearing, but they don't have an idea. Well, Brother McVeigh preached tonight. That idea that they're here, but they're not hearing anything.
Yeah.
Now, I got some people in here tonight who suffer from that. I'm not mad at you for that.
Right. Right.
You suffer from that. You don't know how to stop that condition. You don't know how to make it stop. Okay? But you know what? There's some men of God here. They're going to pray for you. And ask God to stop that in your life. And way down deep in that beaker where that doubt is, you just hate that doubt and you wish it wasn't there. And it so discourages you that it's still there. That voice is still there. And it just drives you crazy. And you just think to yourself, I want to get rid of it. And 95% of preachers will tell you it's all okay, don't worry that it's there. Okay? But I got a Bible that says you better worry that it's there. Okay?
Amen.
You better worry a lot that it's there. Because you know what? Doubt's the opposite of faith. You say you're saved by faith, but you're full of doubt. God, you're going to hell. Okay? And God wants to cure that. If you listen to this, there's some men of God. I have a few things to say to help you with that. Okay? Help you with that. Get you out of that mind. Get you to that glorious liberty of the sons of God, okay? And have that. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to have some fun.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to have some fun. Brother McVeigh is actually a fun guy to be around.
Amen.
Yes. That's right. Every one of you guys is actually a fun guy to be around. I enjoy being around. I do. I enjoy when he's here. I mean, God always does stuff when he's here. I like to get him around as soon as God does stuff. Brother, we made it around and just God does stuff. And I just, so get him around here. You know, just God does stuff. And such. But he's a fun guy. And we're going to have some fun with him. And with that, about 10 of them done.
Amen. Well, one more time. Would you give yourself to God? Would you open up and let God be God this week for you? Do it now, because then you can enjoy the whole week. Well, I've been in meetings like this where the last night somebody finally gives in. And they stand there weeping. Brother Zach. And I wish I'd have done that Monday night. So do it Monday night. Tonight's Monday night.
Yeah.
Do it now. Amen. And enjoy the whole week. I mean, put your cup right side up and let God fill it. And watch what he does. Amen. Brother, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
Amen. And campfire tonight?
Yes, sir, I believe.
All righty.
Yes.
Campfire tonight? Amen. Sounds good. Everybody like it? Everybody okay?
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? It's okay. You can shake your head. It'll be all right. They won't fall off. Amen. All right. Yes, sir.
One, if somebody dropped a piece of money, it would be green. They can come see me, and I know how much it is. Yeah, so don't go too high, you'll miss out. If you drop a piece of money, you know you're missing it, come talk to me. If you guess right, we'll give it to you. And then second, we have, as far as I know, an urgent need from Mark.
Urgent need from Mark.